borne by the cross, that we may bear the cross. Today we take a look at St. Justin Martyr. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you found your martyr, Justin, wandering from teacher to teacher, searching for the true God. Grant that all who seek for a deeper knowledge of the sublime wisdom of your eternal word may be found by you, who sent your Son to seek and save the lost, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We are indeed truly from a culture that is most enthralled with the eternal search. We search for the better deal, better spouse, house, and maybe everything else. How many internet searches do you do a day on your smartphone looking for something? How often do you start the search, maybe get distracted by those personalized advertisements they throw at you, and then before you know it, you forget what you're searching for in the first place? Well, it happens. The advertisers want that to happen. Nevertheless, we respect the searcher. We always have, like Paul's target audience who gathered on Mars Hill, always listening for stories of the new God, or new tales from distant lands, or new perspectives on old news, or a new philosophy. We applaud the searcher, especially if he travels the furthest and overcomes the most number of obstacles, experimenting the most. But if that searcher ever claims to have found the truth, he is quickly dismissed, as Christ was dismissed by Pontius Pilate when he said, "What is truth?" Justin Martyr was raised in a typical pagan family of his time. And the common practice back then was, well, if Justin Martyr was enthralled with the Lord Jesus Christ, just add him into the pantheon of all the other gods that the family was worshiping at the time. And the family would have said, there's always room for one more. But it wouldn't have been room enough for our one jealous God who said, you shall have no other gods. But the paganism of Justin's parents wasn't sophisticated enough, so he kept searching and left home. The true spirit of the searcher meant that he wasn't going to find what he was looking for close to home, so off he went. His first stop was something called Stoicism. The Emperor Marcus Aurelius followed this path of self-restraint. The goal of happiness was not through pleasure, but through truth, wisdom, knowledge, achieved by a virtuous life. And as we read that, we think, oh, how old things become new again. The Prussian Emperor Frederick the Great was said to have kept a copy of Marcus Aurelius's writings in his saddlebags. The founding American fathers were also inspired by the philosophy. George Washington was purported to have had a play by a Stoic when he was down in the Valley Forge. And then Bill Clinton, oddly enough, was said to be a fan and had his copy of Marcus Aurelius by his website, or by his bed. But there was much missing in all of this, and all the other paths that Justin Martyr pursued, until he met an elderly Christian man who introduced him to the biblical prophets. These men were different than the philosophers that Justin encountered. Now, first of all, these guys, the prophets, they're more ancient. Like they come right from the very beginning, and our Lord Jesus Christ is himself a prophet, himself more than a prophet, but comes from all eternity. You want truth? Find the oldest source. Now, these prophets also knew something about where human beings actually came from and where we are going. And one of the most compelling things about the prophets and prophecies is that when they made a prophecy, it came true. The prophecies are something that you can trust. Now, such prophets would command the attention of Justin. They spoke of things that the Stoics and other philosophers did not but should have if they were to be true philosophers. Things like sin, the fall from grace, expulsion from paradise, the promise of a deliverer who was foretold of the ages and met every detail of prophecy, who would find fulfillment in the sacrifice on the cross for our sins, inspiring us to highest reaches of sacrificial love for others, receiving an everlasting inheritance in the kingdom of God. Look at your prophets, says Justin in his dialogue with Trypho the Jew. How incredible he is, and how much more incredible his message, the message of a deliverer who is truly God, assuming human flesh just like one of us, sacrificing himself on the cross for our salvation, seemed absolutely unique and wondrous, especially for those wise enough to know how unattainable the necessary virtues and self-restraint demanded by the Stoics to find happiness. And as for an earthly goal, according to Christians, living a purposeful life seems so much more satisfying, so much more attainable in this life anyways, than looking for happiness such as the Stoics did through virtue, which no human being could possibly have the right kind of virtue perfectly. Justin found his Lord, his truth, and his passion. It would be the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, a love and forgiveness conveyed by means of the Word of God, by absolution, by baptism, by the Lord's Supper. He found the communion of saints, this certain Justin did, the church militant and the church triumphant, comforting and strengthening him. Surrounding the altar of other worshipers, he knew what it was to be surrounded by angels and archangels and the whole company of heaven. Loneliness has got to be the worst affliction known to human beings. But here in the presence of the community of faith and at the altar, we are indeed surrounded by angels and archangels and the whole company of heaven. Such company would, of course, include apostles and prophets. Yes, even Isaiah. From entrance into the community of faith by baptism, the Christian experiences the power of God, not so much by sense, but by faith. Here, Justin Martyr does not understand being born again as by some participatory prayer after hearing the Word of God. He doesn't know anything about a more modern theology that talks about making a decision for Christ or salvation wholly or partly or cooperatively by our own efforts. He takes the emphasis off of us and what we do, and he puts it upon the Lord. And this is what gives Justin the strength to live through his Christian life, the strength to write all the things he wrote. He wrote three main works: his first apology, which is like a defense of the Christian faith, his second apology, second defense, and his dialogue with Trypho. And there's also another writing, he didn't write it, but called The Martyrdom of Justin. What gives him the strength? It is God alone. Unlike the Stoics, he's not relying on himself. Baptism is God's work. And this is what he writes. Then they are brought to us where there is water, and are reborn by the same manner of rebirth by which we ourselves were reborn. For they are then washed in the water in the name of God, the Father and Master of all, and our Savior Jesus Christ, and of the Holy Spirit. For Christ said, "Unless you are born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Clearly, being born again is all about baptism. Baptism is no mere external symbol of our faith. It has clear regenerative power, creating, sustaining our faith, not only for a moment, but to last us throughout our Christian lives. Initiation into the people of God, but then also an ongoing, a daily kind of walk of Christ. So we say, "I am baptized." And Isaiah is quoted by Justin. He's the favorite prophet, I think, of Justin Martyr. "We are washed clean by the power and the blood of the Lamb. The shed blood of Jesus on the cross is what bears us up." As I read these things taught by Justin Martyr, just living in the second century, like the generation right after the apostles, I gain a great confidence in what we teach from Scripture. That what is taught in our church is found from the very earliest of times. We have no novel interpretations, but we are faithful to true sacraments as they are instituted by Jesus himself. Means follows means, whereby we are born up by the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. We're born up by the cross as it is conveyed through baptism. We're born up by the cross as it is conveyed to us through the Lord's Supper. It would have been unthinkable for the church in the days of Justin Martyr to forego the celebration of the Lord's Supper each and every Lord's Day. We have that. It's documented. No one really disputes the authorship of Justin Martyr's apologies. "For by this means, the body and blood of Jesus, it bears us up. It sustains us." The Lord's Supper does a lot of things. The chief thing is the forgiveness of sins. But one of the underreported things, but it's in your catechism, is it strengthens us for service. It bears us up. And so Justin wrote, "This food we call Eucharist, of which no one is allowed to partake except one who believes that the things we teach are true and has received the washing for the forgiveness of sins and for rebirth, and who lives as Christ handed down to us. For we do not receive these things as common bread or as common drink, but as Jesus Christ, our Savior, being incarnate by God's word, took flesh and blood for our salvation, so also we have been taught that the food consecrated by the word which comes from him, which our flesh and blood are nourished by, is the flesh and blood of the incarnate Jesus." They believed in the real presence when they partook of the sacrament, week by week in their fellowship. That's what strengthens Justin Martyr, in addition to his baptism, in addition to the straight word as it's proclaimed. "We are born by the cross of Jesus so that we might bear our own cross that God gives us." In Justin's description of baptism and the Lord's Supper, which comprises the structure of Christian worship, which bears us up, it cannot help but transform us to become Christ-like so that we might seek to bear our cross. So Justin Martyr, he talks about what happens in a Christian assembly wherever they gather, and they didn't have great cathedrals back then. They didn't even have house churches at times, but they gathered where they could in secret because they were being hunted down and persecuted and thrown to the wild animals and so forth. And we'll find out what happens to Justin in a moment. But this is what it results in. He talks about the offering. "Those who prosper and who so wish," so it's very voluntary, "contribute each one as much as he chooses to. What is collected is deposited with the pastor, and he takes care of orphans and widows and those who are in want on account of sickness or any other cause, and those who are in bonds, and the strangers who are sojourners among us. He's the protector of all. Wow, their Christianity, week by week, had some kind of practical impact on the lives of the others around them. In all these things, borne by the cross so that we might bear our cross, even if that form of cross results in hardship, you know, deprivation or suffering, herein the martyr is the witness. That's what the word martyr means. No one makes us afraid, Justin wrote. No one leads us into captivity as we have set our faith on Jesus. For though we are beheaded and crucified and exposed to beasts and chains and fire and all other forms of torture, it is plain that we do not forsake the confession of our faith. But the more things of this kind which happen to us, the more are there others who become believers and truly religious in the name of Jesus Christ. The martyrs gave witness by their death, and what happened next? There were even more Christians. They couldn't extinguish this thing. And Justin speaks of what sustains him. Like others whom we have heard of in this series, Justin would not worship by offering sacrifice to the emperor who declared himself a god, or to false gods. For this, he, along with his companions, they were flogged. They were told, all you need to do is offer up some incense to the god. Stop being such an atheist, Justin, because you're ignoring all of these other gods. We'll accept this Jesus of yours if you just add him to the pantheon. But him alone? That makes you an atheist. You disbelieve so many gods, you might as well disbelieve them all. Well, Justin believed in the one true God, and he and his companions were flogged, and then they were taken out and beheaded. Like Jesus, there was something in the way that they died, without fear and in hope and with great purpose, that would instill within others the witness of their faith to believe in Jesus. What a blessing it is to hear of such faith lived. And we know that in our world today, there are so many real life martyrs in our midst too, around the world. They too inspire us. May they indeed inspire us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.